I would like to read from John, chapter 6, page number 1275, if you've got the same Bible as mine. John, chapter 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have life eternal, and I will raise him up in the last day. Have you seen the Son? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture here speaks about everyone who sees the Son. You might say to me, well, how can I? He was here about 2,000 years ago in bodily form. I could not. There's no way that I could see the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You might see him just as a historical figure written down in these passages of scripture. You might see him that way. You might regard him that way, as a man who was there in history, recorded in history, a man who walked this earth. You might see him that way. You might have heard about his glorious in coming into this world, which we read of this afternoon, born of a virgin. You might have heard that. You've probably heard the Christian message, how he was born. And he's in Bethlehem's manger. God with us. You may have heard about the way he walked here amongst men and the miracles that he did. You may believe them. You may not believe them. But they're recorded in the scripture, the Holy Scripture that we're privileged to have in our hands this evening. Written by the Holy Spirit, so that we might understand God's message to us. You might have heard about his crucifixion. And it's a central point of the gospel. And I'd like to bring that before you tonight. The man Christ Jesus, who did no wrong, who was righteous as his God and Father, holy and righteous. Get an understanding of that tonight. The holiness of God. His righteousness, one who cannot abide sin. How do you stand up to that? How do you compare to that? Oh, we have all fallen short. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Surely we know this, do we not? Almost every day of our lives, we are reminded that we are sinful. What does that mean? That we've done what is according to our own will instead of what is God's will for us. And our God has provided a substitute for our sins. He has offered our Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary's cross. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He was prepared to suffer for our sin, those things that we have done wrong in our lives. Not only what we've done, but what we've said, what we've thought. So many sins piled up like a mountain in our lives. Are you burdened by those sins? Do they trouble you? And what they mean before a holy and righteous God, because he cannot abide sin. Are you walking through life with that sin upon you, having no access to God, no freedom before him, not being able to be at peace and rest in his presence? There's a way through. Have you heard of the message of his crucifixion? I'm sure you must have done. That he was taken by man's hands and he was nailed to a Roman cross. And he hung there. And upon that tree, in 3 hours of darkness, he bore the just judgment of God that we might be set free. Is this hard to understand? It might be. But I just pray the Holy Spirit might make these things good in your heart, that all of your sin there was borne by Jesus in 3 hours of darkness. He bore the just judgment of God that you might never have to. How wonderful. That you might come into blessing tonight. So, I ask you again, as I did at the beginning, have you seen the Son for yourself? Not just historical accounts, not even the words of Scripture. Don't read them like a dry account, but may they come to life before you this evening, that you might see the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who has been sacrificed for you, that you might be set free from all of your sin. That everyone who sees the Son or beholds him, the note says there, I think it's G, if I can find it. Yes, or beholds. Everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have life eternal. Do you believe on him? Do you believe that his work was sufficient for you? That work that was completed at Calvary's cross is sufficient to cleanse you from every single sin that you ever have done and ever will do? Do you believe that? There is the opportunity to come to him, to see him as your blessed, living Lord and Saviour. May that come into your heart and your soul tonight. He was crucified. He offered up his spirit. I refer later in John chapter 21, maybe 20. Perhaps for context, I might read from verse 30. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. The Jews therefore, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for it was the preparation for the great day of that Sabbath, was a great day, demanded of Pilate that their legs might be broken and taken, and they taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he says true, that ye also may believe. For these things took place, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Sobering passage of scripture to read. It refers to the Lord having said, it is finished. That is, that the whole matter of suffering of sin was complete. Please understand that tonight. And he bowed up his head. He bowed his head and delivered up his spirit. Men did not take his life from him. He gave up his life. He gave it up to his God and his Father for us. Our lives are taken at the time that God appoints. It's not in our control. Men like to think so, but it's not. But for the Lord, he delivered up his spirit, a deliberate action. The work was complete. And what happens afterwards is interesting. These things happened and were witnessed as a fulfillment of prophecy that they did not break the legs of the Lord Jesus because they saw that he was already dead. Fulfillment of prophecy that not a bone of him should be broken. You think of it, those men, those callous, hard men, They didn't think, they didn't know that they were acting according to prophecy. And yet they were. And you see through the whole passage, the whole time of the Lord's crucifixion, it may have looked like chaos at the time, but it most certainly was not. It was carefully organized by God the Father, every part of it. And then, importantly, we consider this astonishing offering. You know, it's impressed upon me recently the sacrifice that Christ made was so complete. Sacrifice, the sufferings, was he suffered to the fullest extent that man can suffer. He suffered the mockery. He suffered the shame, the scorn, the spitting, the violence from man's hand, the scourging, the buffeting of the face, the insult of those who spat in his face. This was God here on earth. The extent of the Lord's suffering, the violence and the horror of it all, and I've referred to it already, his suffering and his sacrifice in those 3 hours of darkness, that our sins might be forgiven. Upon him, upon his head, the whole mud of sin was poured out and it was exhausted. The Lord then delivered up his spirit. And yet, it seems that that was not enough. If you thought about that, it's impressed me recently that God required, in some extraordinary way, a further offering, the offering of his blood. It's beyond our minds to understand, isn't it? And yet, it was there, holy, precious blood that was shed from the side of the Saviour. It says here, those soldiers, those hardened men, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Blood for our forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And the witness is here in the passages of Scripture that it is true. You can rely on it. The truth of what is written in the Holy Scripture. His blood has been shed. My friend, it's been shed for you. I want you to understand that. That you might see. That you might see the Son tonight. That you might hear him. Not physically, but you might understand tonight, maybe for the first time, that that sacrifice was made for you, that you might be set free. And what God requires is very little. He requires faith in the work that Christ has done. That is, that you believe that it is true, that he suffered, that you might be set free, that you believe that his suffering at Calvary's cross was sufficient to cleanse you from every sin before a righteous and a holy God. Have that knowledge, have that reality written in your heart and your soul that it was for you personally, sitting here this evening. And repentance is important as well. That you take stock of your life and how you are before God, and like every man and woman and child who has a spirit working in them, they understand that they fall far short of the glory of God, that they have sinned, that they are unrighteous, that they are sinful, and that we need to come back to God, that we need to repent, that we need to turn to God that we might be saved from our sins. Lord, I pray that these things might be made good in our hearts, that you might, for the first time perhaps, see the Son. You notice the way that this passage ends in John 19. It says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. They saw the Son. They saw him physically with their eyes. But this didn't appear to be a blessing for them. If you look at the scripture which this refers to in Zechariah, it talks about mourning and it talks about bitterness. Maybe they understood something of what happened, what they had done. They looked upon him whom they had pierced. But we have a more precious privilege, as knowing that our Lord and Saviour has been raised from amongst the dead, and that his love and grace and mercy is towards us. We have the blessing of being able to see him as our Lord and Saviour, to confess him as our Lord and Saviour, that we might have life eternal, an eternal life in him. May you just quite simply confess his name this evening. It's not complicated. I remember quite well when I was a child thinking that it was complicated, because various preachers would say week by week various things in the gospel, so many things, and they were right. But I wondered if I had ticked every box. I wondered if I had had enough faith, whether I truly trusted in the blood, whether I had really repented, all these doubts and fears. But you know, what God is looking for in the gospel is you to confess the Lord as your Saviour, and you will be saved. May you do so, for his name's sake. Amen.